Well, we've been working all the year, or if work is the right word, we've been spending the whole year looking at the nature of Christian love, and I thought this morning to complete it all by summarizing the key ideas that we've reflected on. And I'll do so in 5 points for your meditation and prayer today. Thanks to Jesus, and I don't think we would have known it otherwise, we came to learn, as the beloved disciple learned, an extraordinary truth that God is love. Now, by God, we all mean the same thing. We mean the source of all life, all being, all reality. So, what being is, what really is, the only thing that actually is love. That's what God is. And since we're made in the image of God, you and I and everyone around us, in fact the whole of creation, then if I am who I am, and if you are who you are, and if we are who we are, without distraction and without adulteration and without distortion, then you are love. And for some people who really know each one of you, really know you well, that's what you are, largely, not entirely, because we've got this complex thing called sin that disturbs all this. But what we really are is love, and that's the first point I wanted to dwell with you on. The statement that I'm beginning a meditation on is from John's letter, chapter 4, verse 6, and he says simply, God is love. If we abide in love, therefore, and we'll have to look at what that means, but if we abide in love, we're abiding in God. Necessarily. And God's abiding in us. So the only thing that matters then is love. The only thing that's worth my doing or your doing or our being in, the only thing worth doing is loving. Everything else is pointless. Getting to that point is becoming perfect as our Father is perfect, is the dynamism of the Christian life. A lovely way of putting that, I think, an ancient, perhaps archaic way of putting it, is by Julian of Norwich, 14th century English mystic, the earliest English language that we've got from a woman, the earliest writing from a woman is Julian of Norwich. It's nice to know that the earliest female writing is by a saint. Oh, that it was always so. And she says there, we are enclosed in the Father. We're enclosed in the Son. And we're enclosed in the Holy Spirit. We're wrapped in them, everywhere around us, enclosing us is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And she goes on, and the Father is enclosed in us. And the Son is enclosed in us. And the Holy Spirit is enclosed in us. If I had any sense, I'd now stop and give you the next hour, because there's plenty there, isn't there, just to ponder and let it sink in. What a wonderful thing to know. That wherever you are, wherever I am, we are surrounded by the loving, communicating, sharing persons that we call God. And not only that, God has chosen as his favourite temple to be in you, in your body, your feelings, your emotions, your life. Peter tells us that in his second letter. You share the divine nature. Well, if I share the divine nature, doesn't it follow that my nature is to be an expression of love? And so is yours. Each of us unique. God doesn't do the same thing twice. So your way of loving has never been known in the world before. It'll never be known again. Don't let's waste it. That way of expressing love, God wanted to complete the design, the perfection of his glory. Paul tells us at the end of chapter 13 of the Corinthians, after a long and lovely chapter, which you know very well about what love is, his last words in that chapter are, the greatest gift is love. And he begins chapter 14, he says, pursue it. Go for it. Long for it, work for it, seek for it. It's the greatest gift. Actually, it's the gift of being. It's not a gift as an extra. It's the very essence of our being. No wonder we want it and want to give it. It's what we are. Paul, Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith, and by faith he means openness to God, because no other way of loving, faith working through love. So if you can find anything at all in your life, and if I can find anything in mine that is not open to God and working through love, why are we wasting our time? Why are we doing it? It's nothing less than tragic. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. That's it. John's letter again. God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. God's love is brought to perfection in you and me. In this special way that only each of us can experience. And so, to conclude this first simple but quite profound reflection, John, the last words of Jesus at the Last Supper. So these are the final words on the heart of Jesus, according to the beloved disciple, as he goes to his passion. Ah, Father, may the love with which you loved me be in them, and I in them. And therefore, to just go back to Julian of Norwich, we are enclosed in the Father. No one can get at you. No one can hurt you. Sorry, people can hurt you, but they can't harm you because you're enclosed in the Father. People might crucify you, but they can't harm you. We are enclosed in the Father. We are enclosed in the Son. We are enclosed in the Holy Spirit. And the Father is enclosed in us, the Son is enclosed in us, and the Holy Spirit is enclosed in us. And so, John of the Cross, from the spiritual canticle, O most beautiful of creatures. So, dare to allow God to say this to each one of you and to me. He's saying it actually to each one. And if you find this embarrassing, keep listening to it till you can settle with it. God wants to say to each of you, O most beautiful of creatures, transcendent spirit, who long to know where your beloved is, and where you may find him so as to be united with him, he dwells within you. You are yourself the tabernacle, his secret hiding place. Rejoice, exult, for all you could possibly desire All your heart's longing is so close, so intimate as to be within you. You cannot be without him. And lastly, from John of the Cross again, a stanza 28 of his spiritual canticle. Now, he says, I occupy my soul and all its energy. The Spanish is caudal, and the Spanish speakers tell me that means a river roaring down from the mountains after the melting snow. It's just, it's in spate, as we say in English. So a powerful, newly melted snow is pouring down into the plain. I occupy my soul and all its energy in his service. I no longer tend the herd, nor have I any other work now that my every act is love. I'll just move to the second passage on that sheet. God will show the soul how to love him as perfectly as she desires. God is love. He'll show you how to love. If we're watching, we'll learn. By watching Jesus, of course, but by listening to the Spirit who is enclosing us as well. God will show the soul how to love him as perfectly as she desires, transforming the soul into his love. God gives the soul his own strength by which she can love him. And here, a really lovely image of John of the Cross. He has this image of someone learning to play a lute, or some musical instrument, a guitar in our terms. And someone, you've got your little 14-year-old kid and you teach him the guitar, so you put your arm around the shoulder and hang on to the hand and show him where to put the fingers and then strum. And you're teaching this little child how to strum a guitar by kind of embracing him or her. And he says, that's what God does to us. It's as if he were to put an instrument in your hands and show you how it works by operating it with you. This is how you love, says God, and shows you. Now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Because God's love, he knows how to do it. He shows her how to love and gives her the ability to do so. And to conclude now this first point, John of the Cross again, at the evening of life, you will be examined in love. Nothing else. The quality of your love is the quality of your eternity. The old image they often use, a little thimble is full of water. Well, it doesn't, I can't hold anymore. It's perfectly happy for all eternity. And if that's your life, good, great. But you've got a big bucket of love. Well, you're going to be full of that too. So you'll be all love for all eternity and all light. How much, and if much is a good word, I don't know that it is, but the quality of it will depend on when you die, how much love there is in you. That's your eternity. At the evening of life, you'll be examined in love. Learn to love as God desires to be loved. And abandon your own ways of acting. Well, the second point I'd like to suggest for your reflection is, if what we've just said is true and it is our faith, then let's look at God loving and we learn something quite remarkable. Because in a way, we human beings tend, I suppose, it seems pretty general anyhow, we tend to want to earn love or to think we're not lovable unless we've earned it. I can't honestly say I think that much myself now, maybe I did once, but it is a common enough thought, I think, don't you? That if we're just not sure we're worth loving. Well, we all have that feeling, I guess. But we tend to think that love is something that you have to be something to get it, almost. I don't know, something like that. Well, when we look at God, it's just not like that at all. The first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 10 says, "In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins." See, we were sinners and he loved us. So sin isn't actually earning anything. God has this capacity. Love seems to be creative of love, not responding to it. That's not its essential quality. Love is what is given as a creative gift to one who is clearly unable to receive it or be worthy of it. And worth has nothing to do with it. Atoning sacrifice. Just a second, that's a bit, in English it's a bit hard to know what that means, but you might know about the Jewish temple, and you might know that in the Jewish temple it was rectangular, and about two-thirds of the way up you had the priests in the inner sanctuary, then there was a curtain, then there was the inner sanctuary where no one went except once a year the high priest went in. And when he went into this inner sanctuary, there was the altar there, which was covered with the Greek is hilasterion, but they translate it the mercy seat. It's a gold covering for the Ark of the Covenant, which was considered to be God's throne. And then they had two big cherubim guarding it, and then emptiness above it, where God touched the earth. That was how they imaged it. Well, the word used here for atoning sacrifice refers back to the high priest on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, coming into that inner sanctuary with all the sins of the people, all our sins. And the sins were then placed on the altar. But the altar was kind of gold, it was fire, it was love, it's mercy. And as soon as you put them on the altar, they're gone. Burned up in God's love, finished, ended. Then he would come out and all the people would be free of the sins. Of course, the sins that they repented of. It was a beautiful sacrament of forgiveness. Well, Jesus is the one we're told here. He is the atoning sacrifice. All our sins of the thief on the cross, sins of whoever, were taken into the heart of Jesus and there burned away in love. They're not there anymore. Because God wants to love. And that's what love is. Love isn't, "You stopped sinning, so I love you." It's, "I love you, and if we receive it, we stop sinning." St. Paul, Romans 5:8, "God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Well, you can't be anything worse than a sinner. Sin is the worst thing we can think of. And there's no point of us ever thinking it's good. No good ever comes of it. So sin won't ever look good. But sin can be consumed, burnt, forgiven, loved away. And that's what we learn when we look at God about what love is. Julian of Norwich again, lovely little simple statement from a saintly woman who was just in touch. She says, "God, of your goodness, give yourself to me, for you're in love with me." Wouldn't it be beautiful to be that simple? "You're in love with me, God, so go on, get on with it." And just staying with this idea of what is love. And we are love, God is love. Sin gets in the road, but love can consume sin. So again, Julian of Norwich. Mercy, she says, is a sweet, gracious operation in love. It mingles with plentiful pity, protecting us and turning everything to good for us. God, in his merciful love, allows us to fail to a certain extent. And inasmuch as we fail, we fall. And inasmuch as we fall, we die. Inasmuch as we fail to see and feel God, who is our life. Our failing is dreadful, she says. Our falling is shameful and our dying is sorrowful. But yet, in all this, the sweet eye of pity is never turned away from us. And the operation of mercy does not cease. Mercy is a property of compassion which belongs to motherhood in tender love. She's speaking of the motherhood of God. And grace is a property which belongs to royal dominion in the same love, the kind of fatherhood of God. Mercy works, protecting, enduring, vivifying, healing, in all of the tenderness of love. And grace works with mercy, raising, rewarding, endlessly exceeding what our love and labour deserve, distributing and displaying the vast plenty and great generosity of God's royal dominion in his wonderful courtesy. It's the troubadour language of the 14th century, but it still carries a beautiful meaning for us. So thirdly, we've seen that God is love and we are in the image of God, so that's all we are, all we're meant to be. That's all that being is. Secondly, we've seen that love is about mercy. Love is about forgiveness, essentially. Love is about healing from sin. Well then, thirdly, if we believe that God loves us, who are sinners, we can learn to love ourselves as God loves us. This is maybe the hardest pivotal point of all this that I'll be sharing with you. Learning to love ourselves, forgive ourselves. We're talking about honesty here, of course. But really learning to trust that our sin can be forgiven and we can be healed and we can still be loved and we can still love. Well, here's some text from Scripture that might bear that out. Letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, Paul says, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us." Live in it as Christ loved us. True love of self is our sharing in God's love for us, a love which is a gift of grace. Can you love yourself the way God loves you? You have to be humble to do that, don't you? Because you realize it's all a gift. You haven't earned any of it. So humility will be needed. We'll have to be like a little child with a parent who just trusts that Mum or Dad can forgive, and all your parents know you do forgive. Well, why wouldn't God? All of us know that if a child or another person who's offended us comes with sorrow and means it, well, that's a terrific feeling for the person hurt, isn't it, as well as the person hurting. I mean, who wants to go on with all that hurt? And if it's resolved, that's wonderful. for everybody. So God gets delight about a sinner who repents, says Jesus. So can we take that seriously and believe it and accept it humbly and get on with loving? I am a creature totally dependent on God and so totally dependent on love. That's what we believe. God took dust of the earth, afar, just the dust, and he made man and woman out of it. Well, if he made it out of clay, then you could fire the clay and stick it on a mantelpiece and it'd still be there. You try moulding something out of dust one day. You take your hands away and it just goes, because it's got no shape and no texture, it can't hold together. We're like that, we're just, you wouldn't be here unless God were holding you. And then God didn't just hold you, but he breathes in the breath of life, which is love, because that's all that God's got. And so we become loving, fragile, dependent creatures. Another thing about yourself that you learn when you watch God is that you're a person who's dear to Jesus. Paul, Corinthians, you were bought at a price. Glorify God in your body. Not just with your thoughts, but with everything you've got, glorify God. Again, Paul, Galatians, it's no longer I who live, he said, it's Christ living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me, we can each say, and gave himself for me. What a tragedy it would be if we ignored that and just went on imploding into our own sin and memories and incapacity and failures and broken relationships and all that, when all this love is there. Again, Paul, Christ Jesus has made me his own. Simple conviction Paul had, but a conviction that fired his whole life. Could we share it? So not only am I then a creature totally dependent on the Father who holds me in being and breathes his spirit into me, but I, every one of us, we learn, are dear to the Son of God, and thirdly, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. And finally, we, surrounded, enclosed in the Trinity, we belong to each other and we belong to the world just for this short time of our life. Well, if we belong to each other, what might that mean by way of love? So thirdly, we've seen that God is love and we are in the image of God, so that's all we are, all we're meant to be. That's all that being is. Secondly, we've seen that love is about mercy. Love is about forgiveness, essentially. Love is about healing from sin. Well, then, thirdly, if we believe that God loves us, who are sinners, we can learn to love ourselves as God loves us. This is maybe the hardest pivotal point of all this that I'll be sharing with you. Learning to love ourselves, forgive ourselves. We're talking about honesty here, of course, but really learning to trust that our sin can be forgiven and we can be healed and we can still be loved and we can still love. Well, here's some texts from Scripture that might bear that out. Letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, Paul says, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us." Live in it as Christ loved us. true love of self is our sharing in God's love for us, a love which is a gift of grace. Can you love yourself the way God loves you? You have to be humble to do that, don't you? Because you realize it's all a gift. You haven't earned any of it. So humility will be needed. We'll have to be like a little child with a parent who just trusts that mum or dad can forgive, and all you parents know you do forgive. Well, why wouldn't God? All of us know that if a child or another person who's offended us comes with sorrow and means it, well, that's a terrific feeling for the person hurt, isn't it, as well as the person hurting. I mean, who wants to go on with all that hurt? And if it's resolved, that's wonderful for everybody. So God gets delight about a sinner who repents, says Jesus. So can we take that seriously and believe it and accept it humbly and get on with loving? I am a creature totally dependent on God and so totally dependent on love. That's what we believe. God took dust of the earth, afar, just the dust, and he made man and woman out of it. Well, if you made it out of clay, then you could fire the clay and stick it on a mantelpiece and it'd still be there. You try moulding something out of dust one day. You take your hands away and it just goes, because it's got no shape and no texture, it can't hold together. We're like that, you wouldn't be here unless God were holding you. And then God didn't just hold you, but he breathes in the breath of life, which is love, because that's all that God's got. And so we become loving, fragile, dependent creatures. Another thing about yourself that you learn when you watch God is that you're a person who's dear to Jesus. Paul, Corinthians, you were bought at a price. Glorify God in your body. Not just with your thoughts, but with everything you've got, glorify God. Again, Paul, Galatians, it's no longer I who live, he said, it's Christ living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me, we can each say, and gave himself for me. What a tragedy it would be if we ignored that and just went on imploding into our own sin and memories and incapacity and failures and broken relationships and all that, when all this love is there. Again, Paul, Christ Jesus has made me his own. Simple conviction Paul had, but a conviction that fired his whole life. Could we share it? So not only am I then a creature totally dependent on the Father who holds me in being and breathes his spirit into me, but I, every one of us, we learn, are dear to the Son of God, and thirdly, we're temples of the Holy Spirit. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. And finally, we, surrounded, enclosed in the Trinity, we belong to each other and we belong to the world just for this short time of our life. Well, if we belong to each other, what might that mean by way of love?